to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. Second Kings, chapter 4. You may follow in your text. From the New Living Translation, Second Kings, chapter 4. Reading from verse 8. It said, one day Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, I am sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. I'm sure. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by. One day, Elisha returned to Shunem, and when he went up to this upper room, to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, tell the woman from Shunem, I want to speak to her. When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army? No, she replied, my family takes good care of me. Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, what can we do for her? Gehazi replied, she doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man. Call her back again, Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she cried. Oh, man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant, and at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. One day when her child was older, he went out to help his father who was working with the harvesters. Suddenly, he cried out, my head hurts, my head hurts. His father said to one of the servants, carry him to his mother. So the servant took him home, and his mother held him on her lap. But around noontime, he died. She carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and left him there. Carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and then shut the door and left him there. We will come back to the remaining portion of that text a little bit later. When we look in this text, I want to read for you from the Jewish from the Torah or the Tanakh from 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 14. So he said to Gehazi, "What can be done for her?" Gehazi said, "Actually, she has no child, and her husband is old." So we, just before I proceed, I wanted just to add a little bit of clarity to how difficult this situation was. Here we have in this text this morning, and I like to speak to you from a subject I didn't ask. God gave, and now my gift is dead. I didn't ask, but God gave, and now my gift is dead. In this text, in 2 Kings, an account of the miracle, or one of the many miracles of Elisha. We can recall in the first verses of this text, Elisha had performed a miracle to help a poor widow that was about to lose her sons into slavery. And the man of God now was one day traveling to the town of Shunem. And this town was in the territory of Issachar. We read about it in Joshua chapter 19 and verse 18, and how the land was divided. It was located near Mount Gilboa at the foot of the hill of Moriah, near the eastern edge of the Jezreel plain. And here we have now Elisha, who the power, the prophetic power of God was resting on him. His master was caught up in a chariot of fire, and the promise was made to him when he asked a very difficult request to Elijah, that he wanted a double portion of his anointing. And now Elijah responded and said, "If you see me when I'm taken away, that means you got to stick around to make sure that that request will be answered." And so it was. The day came when the chariots of fire came for Elijah, but Elisha was present. And the mantle, Elijah tossed the mantle on Elisha. And he traveled in the same, in a double portion of the anointing that Elijah received from God. Here was the man of God, a prophet, who was under God's authority. The prophetic rested on him. And one day when he was traveling to the town of Shunem, he came across a wealthy woman, somebody who had wealth, who was known in the community of Shunem. We called her a Shunammite woman. Bible said that this woman, she urged him to come to her home for a meal. She was a proper woman. The prophet, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. It was a home of honor. At this time in the land of Israel, it was filled with paganism. People had turned to the idols, to idolatry, and forsaken the God of the heavens and the earth. But the mere fact that the prophet stopped at this home to eat tells me that this woman was God-fearing. And so she recognized that this man was a holy man of God. She was convinced that Elisha was a representative of God, one who feared God, one who loved God, one whom the prophetic rested on. And so she spoke to her husband and said, "Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Let's build a room for her, for him. Let's invite him into our homes. Let him feel at home." In other words, more than Elijah and his personality, the woman saw the presence of God resting on this man. Because of that, she wanted the presence of God to be in her home. And so is it that whenever Elisha would pass by, he would stop there. And so, after having completed that building or that room, here comes the man of God. And he stopped by and he was introduced to a room that was made specifically for him. And the Bible said, you can imagine how grateful Elisha must have felt. The kind act from this woman and her family to prepare a room for him. And so, Elisha said to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the woman from Shunem, I want to speak to her." When she appeared, Elisha, speaking to the woman through Gehazi, he did not directly went out to speak to the woman, but he spoke to her through his servant Gehazi. Said, "Tell her how much we are grateful for this kind act that you have shown. We want to know, what can we do for you? We want to show a sense of appreciation to you for your kindness." Elisha said, "Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?" Here we understand from scripture that each prophet that God raised up during the reign of any king, his duty was to be a prophet to the nation of Israel. But he had to bring God's word to the king. He's not just speaking frivolously, but he was assigned to the king who was serving at that time. And whether the words of the Lord were pleasing to the king or not, this prophet who held an office had a duty and a responsibility to echo the words of God to the king, whether he wanted to hear it or not, whether he will obey or not, whether he will lose his life, the prophet, whether the king will take his head off or not, he had to speak. And so he had a relationship with the king. And so to this woman who was known, a wealthy woman in Shunem. Elisha said, do you want us to put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army? The woman replied, my family takes good care of me. I don't need such kindness. My family takes good care of me. We get from this text that this woman, the Shunammite woman, seemed that her life was complete. She lacked nothing based on her response. She needed no good word to be extended to the king or to the officer, the army officer, the person who was the commander of the army. She needed no good word. She said, we are okay. I'm okay. My family takes good care of me. What we must understand from this text, when Elisha said within himself, there's got to be something else that's needed. He looked on Gehazi later in the day or sometime later and said, Gehazi, what can we do for her? She has replied that there is no need in her life. She's lacking nothing. But do you know anything that we can do for her? Elisha, Gehazi, who was always observing, responded, she doesn't have a child. And her husband is old anyway. Everything seems hopeless. She's barren, and her husband is old. This is similar to the case of Sarah, the matriarch of the Hebrew family. But while Sarah was given a promise and had hope in that promise, this woman, we don't know if she was ever given a promise to have a child. And so, Hannah, another example, was one who was praying for a child. But we have no such record of this woman ever even praying for a child. And Gehazi responded to Elisha and said, call her back again. The woman returned. Elisha now spoke to her directly as she stood in the doorway. Next year, at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. She didn't pray for it. We have no record of her praying for it or for a son. We have no record of her being promised a son before. She was okay. To her life was complete and her family took good care of her. When Elisha prophesied to her and said, next year, this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. This was a double prophecy, meaning that next year, this time, even though there's a famine, you will be alive and you will be holding a son in your arms. The woman replied, "O man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that." See, she was comfortable in her home, being taken care of by her family. But she observed the man of God passing. Initially, she invited him in the home for a meal. But the question is, do you understand the magnitude of your decision when you invite God in your home, when you invite the presence of God in your life? This woman not only invited him for a meal, but she built a room. She prepared a room. She made a room on top of the roof for the man of God. Can you handle God's presence in your house? He never told you what he will do. She didn't understand what it meant to build a room for the man of God. And even so oftentimes we pray for the presence of God to fill our house. But do you understand what it means to have the presence of God in your life? Can you handle when God shows up in another way that you were not expecting him to? You weren't praying about it, but he's about to show up. And so the man of God prophesied to this woman. And this woman said, "Don't get my hopes up like that." This may be something that she had hoped for while she was younger. Because every woman that gets married is expecting to bear a child. And in those days, to be barren meant that you carried a shame. And so she must have been expecting a child during her youthful years. But by this time, according to Gehazi's response, she's barren. There was no fruit of her loins. And there's not even a chance because the man is now old. He's an old man. So she must have had a hope, an expectation, a desire for a certain thing to happen. But by this time, nature had devoured her hope. It's all gone. She buried it. She buried it. And so, it was not something that she was praying for. It died naturally. But Elisha, through the prophetic eyes, when you invite God's presence in your home, he's going to get into the secret areas of your life. I'm speaking to somebody this morning who didn't ask, but God gave you. And now you have a dead situation on your hand. The presence of the Lord is going to get in every secret area of your life. The areas that you don't want to deal with. The areas that you tell nobody about. The areas that it's not evident to others that it's still, perhaps it may be a concern for you. Talking about emotional hurt, lost hope. You wanted it, you desired it, but it died. And now the man of God is talking about it. Sure enough, the Bible said the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. Can you imagine the joy that filled that house? A woman that was known, there was another layer added to her story, as the entire village must have heard about the miraculous power of God in this barren woman who never produced in her youthful years, is now producing at an age that defy the natural laws. Now she has a child. But the Bible said that one day when her child was older, he went out to help his father. And if we, when we understand this from the Jewish text, it was around the age of 11 or 12, according to the word that was used to describe the child age. But he was helping his father who was working with the harvesters, and suddenly he cried. The gift. My head hurts. His father sent him back home with one of the servants, possibly just thinking it's another headache, just something natural, something that he just needs to go home and be taken care of. But the mother held him on her lap. But around noontime, while he is in the lap of his mom, the gift died in her hands. I don't always like to spiritualize text, but I'm speaking to someone this morning who you didn't ask God for what he gave you, but you received it from the Lord. And now it's a dead situation in your hands. You had dreams possibly of becoming, of being used by the Lord. You have dreams of the presence of the Lord, of the joy of the Lord filling your heart, your soul. But God gave you what you didn't ask for, and filled your house with joy. And now, tragedy has set in. You have a dead situation in your hands. I want us to pause for a moment and think about that dead situation. Try to identify that dead situation. Bible said when she recognized that he had died, she carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door and left him there. We wonder, why did she do this? Because God's presence filled the universe. He's everywhere. Have you ever experienced some difficult moments in your life, even as a believer who is a carrier of the presence of the Lord? But that difficult situation, sometimes you just have a yearning just to visit the physical building, just to pray. Well, this is a similar situation. This was where her gift was born. She stood in the doorway while the man of God prophesied. Next year, this time, you will embrace a son. So for her, the right thing to do was to put the gift at the place of prophecy. That's the only connection to the gift. I didn't ask, but God spoke and I receive. And now I have a dead situation. I feel life. Kashamba. And so she laid him pass through the entrance to that room where she stood receiving the prophecy. Laid him on the bed that was prepared for the man of God. She went back down and she sent a message to her husband. Said, send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back. Send him. He said, why go today? He asked. It is neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath. It's not the time where we will visit the men of wisdom to seek advice from them. Why today? It's got to be today. It's a dead situation. And I need life before sundown. Before the sun sets, I need my gift back. I wish somebody would open their mouth to God and say, before the sun sets, Kata Shamba, I need my gift back. To the husband, in his question, why go today? It seemed he was satisfied and have accepted the outcome of this tragic situation. But even though he participated in the process in realizing or bringing forth this gift in the world, he did not hear the words of the prophecy. There's something different when God speaks directly, than hearing it through an intermediary or through a mediator. But there's something different when you hear from the oracle of God. This woman heard. And this man was told, every fiber of her being was lit up when the prophetic word was uttered. And so, though her husband seemed to accept the tragic outcome, she was not satisfied. She said, it will be all right. It is well. Shalom. I know this may seem to some, it can be translated the outcome or a description of her faith. But this, idiomatically speaking, just simply means goodbye. So one, it could be a description of her faith, but also it could mean that she does not want to hear anything else from her husband. Goodbye. Send me the donkey and a servant. You don't understand what this gift means. So is it, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we hear the echo of the voices of men telling you, be satisfied with the outcome. Don't you worry. It happens. It's life. But sometimes we need to just tell them, goodbye, peace, peace out. You never heard the prophetic word. You don't understand the fire that I felt in my being. Shaka Messiah. When he filled me with the Holy Ghost, I never asked for it. When he gave gifts to me. She said, it will be all right. So she saddled the donkey and she said to the servant, hurry, don't slow down unless I tell you to. In other words, before this, when she was riding into town, she probably rode with dignity. But this time, there's tragedy on her hand. And servant, don't you ride with any care. Only slow down if I tell you to. Go find me the man of God. Bible said that she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel. Careful study would allow us to recognize that this was about some 15 to 20 miles away from Shunem. Her son died at 12 noon. And let's say the sun is going to set at 6 o'clock. She has a short time. Because according to the tradition, he must be buried at sunset or before sunset. And if he's buried, chances of him ever coming back to life is very dull. So some 15 to 20 miles traveling. It seems that these donkeys were pulling a cart. That meant the journey for 15 to 20 miles while pulling a cart. This donkey, singular according to the text, meant that this journey too could have been an hour to 2 hours ride. So somewhere between argument's sake, getting the donkey from the father, say 12:30, and 2 hours ride would have been 2:30. She approached the man of God at Mount Carmel. Elisha saw her in the distance. He said to Gehazi, "Look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, 'Is everything all right with you, your husband, and your child?'" Yes, the woman told Gehazi, "Everything is fine." But she didn't stop with Gehazi. She came to the man of God at the mountain, and she fell to the ground before him, caught hold of his feet. Gehazi began to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is deeply troubled, but the Lord has not told me what it is." Namakasitaya. You have been praying. You have been seeking the Lord in ways that does not seem customarily, or does not seem the familiar way that others would have done. And sometimes people try to close you down. Don't disturb the man of God. Take your hands off his feet. But thanks be to God, the prophetic is on the man. He said, "Leave her alone. You don't understand. She is deeply troubled, but the Lord has not told me what it is." What a word from the Lord. What a word from the man of God. Sometimes we just have to be real. Leaders and those who God have placed in position of authority. Not every time you have what God, not every time does God reveal to you everything. Yes, you're not a sorcerer. You're a man of God. You don't have a word for every situation. You got to wait on the Lord. Elisha said, "She's hurting. She's troubled. Tragedy is on her hand. But the Lord has not told me." Then she said, "Did I ask you for a son? I opened my house to you. I invited you. I prepared a room for you. Did I ask you for a son? You asked me if you wanted to extend a word to the king or to the commander of the army. And I told you my family takes care of me. I have need of nothing. Did I ask you for a son? And didn't I say, don't deceive me and get my hopes up?" It's more than a decade since the prophetic word. And Elisha said to Gehazi, "Get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face." Some of us would have been excited to hear such a word from the man of God. But the woman had no connection with Gehazi. Gehazi, Elisha's instruction to Gehazi meant nothing for her miracle. Sometimes we are sidetracked by those who seem to carry an anointing. But you better remain focused on the one who is anointed, or the one who God has placed in your lives. And I'm not talking this morning about myself. I'm talking in general terms. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face. But the boy's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself lives, I won't go home unless you go with me. She's holding on to the ankles of the man of God. The words that you have echoed are the instruction that you have given your servant. Don't move me, Elisha. I won't leave until you go with me. God, I'm in your presence. I'm crying out to you for this dead situation that's in my life. I don't need a substitute. I need you, Lord. Don't send my God, your servant. I need you to show up at my house. It was you that spoke to me. I never asked you for this gift. I never asked you. You gave it to me according to your divine providence. Lord Jesus, I'm holding on to you, my God, and I won't move unless you come with me. Kandashamba, do I have someone who's resolute, my God Almighty, someone that will not move until God moves? Kaya holaba samba. Some of us are so quick to move, my God, on a word that sounds good and a word that seems possible, but I won't move until the presence of God travel with me. I'm not comfortable going home to a dead situation for someone to try something and see if it comes to pass. I told my husband, I am convinced that this man, that you are a holy man of God. I didn't say anything about Gehazi. I told him about you. So Elisha started to move while Gehazi was hurrying along ahead. Elisha went with her. The Bible said that by this time on their journey, Gehazi had arrived at the home, did exactly what Elisha told him to do, but the boy was dead. He didn't move. He was cold. Gehazi left the home, ran back, and while Elisha was traveling there, came. He returned to meet Elisha and told him, the child is still dead. It never worked. When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. God did not tell Elisha what had happened, and God still has not spoken to the prophet. There's a tragedy in the life of the woman. And this is also an urgent case in the life of the prophet. But God is silent. What do we do when there's a tragedy on our hand and God is silent? Action, a decision is needed, cannot be deferred. But we have not received a clear word from the Lord and a direct instruction from the Lord. What do you do? We're praying. We're fasting. There's a tragedy. But we haven't heard anything from the Lord. It's a dead situation. And God is silent. See, the silence of God speaks volumes. It does not mean that God is against you, as we are often times tend to believe or to look at his silence as being negative. But his silence means that God wants us to realize that in his word, there's an answer for your tragedy. There's an answer for the dilemma that you are facing. His word will answer our questions. In his words, we can see, we can carefully look on patterns and principles that are established in his written word. And so, Elisha is in the room. He closes the door. He's praying. But God is silent. The only thing that Elisha can recall is the act of his master, Elijah, who was taken up by a chariot of fire. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 17. Elisha remembered the account. When a woman's son became sick, he grew worse and worse, and finally he died. Then she said to Elijah, "Oh man of God, what have you done to me? Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son?" But Elijah replied, "Give me your son." And he took the child's body from her arms, carried him up the stairs to the room where he was staying, and laid the body on his bed. Then Elijah cried out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, my God, why have you brought tragedy to this widow who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die?" And he stretched himself out over the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, my God, please let this child's soul return to him." And the Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned, and he revived. This woman had already started the process. She had laid the dead boy on the prophet's bed. So now Elisha, in the silence of God, remember the account of his master as he watched the boy on the bed. The Bible said, while he was there alone praying, he lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. Just like Elijah had stretched out over the child, he's following the pattern. When child's body began to grow warm again. Bible said that he got up, walked back and forth across the room, and then stretched himself out again on the lie, on the child. Tell somebody, stretch out one more time on that dead situation. Bible said that this time when the man of God lay down in the silence of God, God, you haven't said a word, but I'm following the pattern and the principle that's established in your word. I read in your word of Jacob's experience. I will not let you go until you bless me. I don't care if it's the morning is about to appear. I will not let you go. This woman must have followed Jacob's principle. When the only one who stood in the midst of her and her God was Elisha. She held to the ankles of Elisha. I ain't going home unless you come with me. The Bible said that while Elisha stretched out the last time, stretch out somebody, that the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. And Elisha summoned Gehazi. It's a miracle done in secret. Your dead situation is about to be made alive. But close the door to everyone else. It's only you and God. Nakotashamba. I'm speaking to the man who has had a dead situation for many years. Close that door. It's you and God. You and him alone. I don't care how near a friend of a prayer warrior that friend is. Close that door. It's either God can or he can't. He called Gehazi. He said, call the child's mother. When she came in, Elisha said, here, take your son. She fell at his feet, prostrate, overwhelmed with gratitude, and began possibly crying. She took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. It's a dead situation, but God is in the room. When we look at an example in Scripture, we see in the book of John chapter 11 of a similar situation, and I'm closing. Where the friend of Jesus was sick and died. And they called Jesus, but he didn't turn up until 4 days after the death of his friend. In verse 21 of John 11, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. There is hope in Jesus. The situation is dead. And life and death is in the hand of God. Doesn't matter that it's dead. Life is in Jesus. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone. He said, show me where you lay him. Verse 38. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave filled with a stone rolled across its entrance. He said, show me where you lay him. He said, roll the stone aside. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Dead. What are you going to do with this dead situation? It's stinking. There's a stench attached. But life is in the midst of the room. Right now. Jesus said, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone away. I didn't ask. God gave. But now it's a dead situation. Jesus said to them, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? Somebody is one act away from a miracle. The situation is dead, but Jesus says, show me where you lay him. Give me the authority to deal with that situation. Bible said that they rolled the stone aside and Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. And Jesus, come on, somebody said, Jesus said, Lazarus, come out of that tomb. The dead man came out, hands and feet bound in grave clothes, face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus said, unwrap him and let him go. You got to name that dead situation right now. The gift you didn't ask for, but you receive. I'm talking about folks who it seems that the ministry that God has placed in you, possibly it's a ministry, a gift that he gave you, it seemed to be dormant. Something that God gave you seemed to be slipping away. A dead situation, hopeless. But God, show him where you lay it. I feel the Holy Ghost now. Shakya maya makutia baho masimbataya tomaka siyo doho rasa. Na kanti moholi maka sambiatasi sumbasha masindo kositaya mama kumpa mama husimba kasita bahumba yabahasite kunda hasita nakasimba muna hasindi boholi akatasi. It's dead. But there is an activity taking place right now. Kushamba, Mama Suta, Sunda, somebody. Show him. Show him. Bring him to the room. Lama Sita, it must be a secret place. Lama Kotasia, authorize him right now. Kemba Sita, you ask for his presence. He is here. Shemenia Mahandi Bahulia Sikanti Mahuta Sidia Shamba Kosaya. It's an impossible case, but God is here. And with him, all things are possible. Naka Simba. Anakota Mahumba Sitaya, stand in the presence of the living God. And I say to that dead situation right now, Kashamba, come forth! Shandohula Basitaya, Mamahunda Sata, hold it up before God and Him alone. Lama Sata, be resolute in your faith right now. I will not return, I swear. My God that liveth, according to the woman, I will not return home unless you travel with me, Kashamba. Well, now that you're home, I want to let you know that God, Mama Kata, is here. Now that you're home, I want you to understand that the presence of God is here. Shama manuno holy mama mahusikinta mahasia nemakunta masaya. My God, it may be that you were gifted to handle the things of the Lord, but now it seems like a sickness is about to take you out, that you're given days, months to live. My God, and you're living with your gift under the shadow of death. Kashamba. Musa, 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 Kusa, Musa, Mukutasa, Suma, Sukasia, Kusa, Musata, Suta, Musa, Musa, Ekisia, Skia, Kutaya, Sunia, Hasi, Misa, Musa, 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 Kutasima, Kusia, Ye Lord, Shakusa. It may be that my Katiyoshia, the wind from the east, have evaded your territory, blown across your house, and now you're under the umbrella, Kata Shumba. Makumba Hasa, the umbrella, Katasumba, of suicide. Lama Sata, gifted, but under the umbrella of suicide. Memahuta Shamba, bring him to your room. Kedihushia, Masantohusia, I speak according to what God has given me. Bring him to your room. Maniyamakutasa, and Amakunta Sinda Hatasia. I command Masita. Kendohusha, that gourd that has grown over your head and has given you some shadow from the heat. You don't have to deal with the pressing situation, but I'm about to dry it up. Kata Shamba. For there is something that left the prophetic that entered your being and it can't die. Kashakotasia. I want you to know that it cannot die. The word of God is in you. Faith Deliverance International Ministry. You are no ordinary people. Mama Kunta Sambahotashia. Amidst the heat that's penetrating, my God Almighty, hallelujah, and the wind that's blowing, I see my deposit is going to be made alive, saith the Lord. I speak according to that which God have placed in me. Makantikosia, I command Mandohosha, every noise to cease. I don't want to hear you, Gehazi. I'm not trusting in you. I don't want the substitute. I want God. I'm not going to be comfortable. My God, hearing words are seeing things that will seem as if it can keep me alive. I want to be alive. Shambokosaya, I feel the energy of God entering someone right now, and I'm not talking about New Age theory. Mandokosaya, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost and power for the church. My God has the Holy Ghost and power. I'm not talking about fake prophetic utterances that come from the lips of people who are just trying to enlarge their own territories. But I'm talking about something that's leaving the divine presence, something that's leaving the courts of heaven. Where men are just mere vessels to utter what has already uttered in heaven. Mother, live! Kata samba toya basita, mama kusandia nakonda sita. I speak to everyone that's on the line right now. Mendo kusata, take your gift. Call that woman Gehazi. The son liveth. Shamba, loose him. The one you tied, the one you buried, the one who you wrapped in grave clothes. The word has done what it needs to do or perform. But now you have got to take action. Loose him. Let him go. Makota Shamba. Munamakasata. Someone with the prophetic, someone with discerning of spirits, someone with the word of knowledge, someone, my God Almighty, with the word of wisdom, someone who has given a ministry from the Lord. Nakioto Shamba, someone whose ministry seemed, my God Almighty, hallelujah, that frustration has set in. There is another creature, there is something in your life that's sucking your blood, sucking the very life out of you. Ah, Shamba, Menaka Sendeke City, Ohobasi, Masamba. I speak to that situation right now, and I speak life. Ibohutasha, possibly it's a bad decision, and God's not about. My God Almighty, possibly he's not about to relieve you of the consequences of your decision, but he's going to give you the grace to go through and allow the gift to operate even in the consequences of that decision. Ah, Shambakosa.